So could you, Mr. Harris, if you could introduce item six?
So item six is the drought report, and Lisa McCann will give you, I think, a very quick update on the drought.
Good morning. I'm Lisa McCann, section manager. As always, I provided a written report. I didn't have any presentation or anything particular, but I wanted to just either update or mention a couple things. As always, your own activities by board members, as well as Mr. Moore's report, overlap and complement what's going on, and that's, I think, very helpful. Yes, I think Mr. Moore mentioned that the emergency regulations for conservation were actually adopted at the time of printing of this report. They were, the order to adopt those regulations had been made by the governor, but they hadn't been before the state board yet, so this report doesn't reflect that they in fact were adopted. It just says that the state board intends to do that, so they were. As far as funding, I wanted to mention that State Water Board just approved last week, I think, $19 million from the cleanup and abatement account for interim emergency drinking water and drought-related projects. So that's a current and immediate release of funds that are available on a first-come, first-served basis, I believe. So that should help many of these communities. Also, we learned that, in fact, while State Water Board doesn't have any funding mechanism or approach to being able to target funds to small users, domestic wells, private owners and whatnot, they have found a couple of grant sources that they've put up on their website and can inform people about for those situations. One of those sources of funding is the U.S. Department of Agriculture Rural Development Program, and the other is called the Rural Community Assistance Corporation. So there at least is some source out there for individual well owners or small communities or small, you know, small groups of homes that are sharing wells that might have contamination problems or wells are running dry. I don't know how robust those funds are, quite what the process is, but we can refer people and find out more about that if desirable. I reported in this report to you on the Monterey County, the groundwater replenishment project, Pure Water Monterey, and the draft environmental impact report is out, and our staff is reviewing that and intending to submit comments on that, as well as on the CalAm desalination plant draft environmental impact report. And I understand that Water Rights has been talking with the applicants about the related water rights applications for those projects. I think that's all I wanted to add.
All right. Thank you very much. These
You're
are
welcome.
Clearly busy times. And reflecting on the drought, the NOAA projections for this winter take a whole different swing with the El Nino, so we may have a different set of circumstances possibly to deal with. What I'm reflecting on is, for example, we take the state of Texas, which also went through a historical drought and then currently is experiencing historical floods. So just food for thought. Yes, Dr. Hunter.
I'm just wondering, since the report was written, if we have any further update on the extension of the State Water Board order to cease and desist pumping on the Carmel River, which is tied to desalination. They're looking for an extension on that date, I think I read in the report, which is unfortunate.
I don't know if that's been resolved or what's been determined.
Okay, I don't know.
I don't know if Mr. Moore can answer that question or.
No extension has been granted. There's been folks have approached us about that with the looming deadline, and it's an ongoing dialogue, but no extension has been granted.
So are they requesting a hearing, or is there any formal action? being proposed?
I don't think it's reached a formal stage, but there's very active discussion.
Okay. Yeah, it's unfortunate that they've been in their process for, what, over 6 or 7 years of developing the plan and getting community buy-in and creating a regional partnership and so on and so forth. And they've hit some real walls. So anyway, we're interested to know what the delays look like and what we might expect from the State Water Board in assisting these communities. I think they have done a great deal of work, and they've convened many, many meetings. And I know they have organized formally in partnerships and various agreements, some of which have held up and some of which have not. So it's, you know, two steps forward, two steps back in this case. Thank you.
Ms. Cervantes?
Yes, I just had a question, and perhaps Mr. Moore can also offer some input regarding some of the different judicial challenges to the tiered water rates. And I know that that's a big part of the governor's conservation efforts, is to offer that flexibility to different water suppliers to be able to, you know, set rate structures and different pricing mechanisms. And I'm not sure if there's any updates on that, sort of where we are.
No, that's a great question. And yes, in the trailer bill language, it's another one of the issues that's being discussed. It's kind of number one and number two of about 10. And it talks about expanded local fort enforcement authority. And you may have, if you're tracking this, you probably saw on the heels of the executive order was activity to draft legislation. So the governor's office has been working with the legislature. And so they're proposing to do the trailer bill approach. And this is specific, there are a lot of specifics to this proposal, but it has to do with just empowering local officials with the necessary enforcement authority. Because as you can imagine, it's very diverse as far as what the local enforcement authorities are. And to presume just because the State Water Board adopts a regulation that a local government can automatically enforce it, and that's a false presumption in many local examples. So there is a very specific proposal that would create this blanket authority. It would allow local water agencies to enforce their water conservation ordinances, allow public entities to issue and assess civil liabilities for violations of local conservation ordinances and State Water Board conservation regulations. It would authorize a penalty of up to $10,000 for the first violation. After 30 days of continued violations, it authorizes an additional penalty of $10,000 plus up to $500 a day beyond for additional violations beyond 30 days. So there's a structure being put together. Allows new civil penalties to assessed by the local agency pursuant to a process that conforms with due process or by court. And requires local agency or court to consider a variety of factors in determining the penalty. And it's kind of like our enforcement policy, you know, the nature and persistence of the violation, the extent of harm by the violation, the length of time, and any corrective action taken by the violator. Allows local agencies to deputize staff and to issue complaints and citations for violation of conservation ordinances and State Water Board regulations, and provides any penalties collected under the new authority go to the local agency's conservation programs. And then there's another add-on about drought penalties. For penalties assessed by the State Water Board or a court of these drought regulations, they would be deposited into the Water Rights Fund and commingled with other deposits in the Water Rights Fund. That's from the state level. You're welcome. But yeah, these are all under discussion. It's not a done deal. But we're trying to fill a gap in enforcement authority.
Thank you very much for the clarification, Mr. Moore.